faithful to 1,000 generations and still faithful today to us in our generation. It's an honor, Lord, to know you, and a greater privilege to walk with you. We thank you for your tangible presence. As we go into the word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. Oh, I pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal work in each of our hearts, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, this afternoon I have a very important present truth instructional message, and I've entitled it Overcoming Job's Error of Omission. This is very instructive because of the perilous times in which we're living. And up till now, we still see so much calamity happening in the lives of Christians. Even people we will all call good people, morally upright people, people who are not committing any type of sexual immorality or any type of moral sin, and bad things are happening to them. And you know, traditionally, over the years, people said, well, you know, there will, as a hymn I love, they'll say, God moves in mysterious ways. And it's true. I love that hymn because the hymn is very true. And the words of that hymn are wonderful. But I believe that the church needs to have a correct understanding of what is actually happening so that we will not be. This scripture just popped into my mind now from the Holy Spirit. He said, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's not the will of God. He said, nay. No, we're not sheep for the slaughter. But in all things, we are more than conquerors. But when you look at the experience of many of our people today, particularly in these perilous times, the Bible tells us, in the book of Matthew 24, Jesus speaking about the end time, he said, iniquity shall abound. And indeed, we see it all around us. And all kinds of things, pestilences, earthquakes, famines, you know, this COVID raged the entire, because God has been merciful and we've come out of it now, you know, but we can't forget. The terrible, so many people died. So many. Even Christians. Even pastors. And I think we all make a big mistake by just saying, well, you know, it's the sovereign will of God. And, you know, no. Many of us are like Job. And so I want to use Job as a type. The book of Job was written for our benefit. The Bible says all things that were written, you know, were written for our learning. Romans chapter 15 says everything that was written previously, everything in the Old Testament was written for our learning. You see, the Old Testament has not been done away with. Many of our modern-day charismatic Word of Faith Christians believe, oh, you don't know, the Old Testament is not too important because we're now in the New Testament. Just concentrate on the Gospels, concentrate on the Epistles. You really can't fulfill a lot of things in the Gospel and the Epistles if you don't understand the types and the shadows that are in the Old Testament. A lot of detail of what you are to do in the New Testament is hidden inside the types and the shadows of the Old Testament. If you don't know, you're going to miss out a lot of detail. That's why you find the Old Testament is more voluminous than the New Testament. New Testament, most of the letters are just short letters. Four chapters, five. The long ones in the New Testament are 15, 16 chapters, like Corinthians and Romans. You know, those two are 16 chapters. All the others, you know, are just, you know, 10 chapters, 5 chapters, some 3, some 5, some 1 chapter, some 2 chapters. Why? Because the detail is in the old. What you have in the new is just a principle. But the detail of how to really do the things in the New Testament, you know, is hidden inside the types and the shadows of the Old Testament. You do yourself a great disservice to ignore the Old Testament and say, oh, it was in the old. All that was done away with in the Old Testament was the animal sacrifices, which we don't need anymore because Jesus died for us, you know, and he was our Passover lamb. So all the ceremonial animal sacrifices, the divers washings, the physical act of them, we don't do again. But even in those things are messages to us. Even the animal sacrifices, there's instruction to us. Even in the washings and all those things, you all think, oh, what was all this? You know, everything has a spiritual equivalent that is to be applied to the New Testament. Many years ago, God gave me this wonderful revelation that I shared. You know, and I've never really heard anybody else say it. I called it the Melchizedek, the spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood. We're under a new priesthood. The old priesthood was the Levitical priesthood, you know. But Jesus now started a new priesthood called Melchizedek. In the Old Testament, in the old Levitical, they used to sacrifice physical sacrifices of the killing of animals. In the New Testament, we still sacrifice. But they are now spiritual sacrifices. And the details of our sacrifices in the New Testament are hidden inside the shadow of the physical animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. So if you don't know them, you will not even know how to do them in detail. You can say amen, say, oh me. It's so anyhow, like Papa Hagen would say. Job was a morally upright man. It was God himself who said this. Everybody turn my Bible to Job chapter 1. I heard Papa Hagen say this, and I think Kenneth Copeland too said it many years ago. And what he said was this. He said, unfortunately, Job didn't have the book of Job to turn to. Aren't you privileged? Job could not turn to the book of Job. You can turn now to the book of Job, but Job couldn't turn to the book of Job. It was being written by his experience. So Job was in a dilemma. He hadn't got a clue what was going on. And God rebuked him for it. And we will see that before we close. You know, God actually rebuked him. As good as he was, you know, he rebuked him. And that's why I said with that introduction, the Old Testament is very important. I'm going to say something is heavy, but it is true. And take it with, you know, take it with the right spirit. Don't take it with the rebellious spirit. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Christians who do not learn the Old Testament types and shadows and how to apply them in the New Testament will perish in these perilous times. You say amen, you don't say amen, it's so. It's the truth. That's why I'm preaching this. Tell your neighbor, say, pastor is preaching it so you will not perish. But you see, if you lack knowledge and you don't act on it, you will perish. That's not the will of God. Now, people don't like to say that, but you know, you have to say the truth. Otherwise, I can't help you. You have to say the truth. My people perish. And that's exactly what happened to Job. And God had to rebuke him. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Job chapter 1. If you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. Good to be on my side, trust me. Because I'm on the Lord's side. There was a man, Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz. I really don't know where that is, but somewhere in the Middle East. Whose name was Job. And the man, everybody, I want you to read this thing. And the man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. How can anything bad happen to such a person? The word perfect there is not perfect like in the New Testament, because they were still sinners. They hadn't been born again, so the sin nature was still there. The word perfect just means he was upright. He was complete in all of his ways of walking with God. He was a good man. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and he was telling me, oh, you know, God is drawing him and everything, and that, you know, he's trying to, you know, do the will of God, you know, that he's, you know, doing a lot of philanthropic work, he's helping the poor, and all of that. I said, well, you're doing is good. I commended him. I said, it's good. I said, but it's not enough. I said, you remind me of the rich young ruler. Like Job. Good. He came to Jesus and said, what good thing shall I do? Jesus said, He said, honor your father and your mother. Don't commit adultery. Don't tell lies. The man said, all these things I've been doing from when I was a child. The Bible says, and the Lord loved him. He was not lying. He wasn't lying. He said, he commended him. He said, very good. He said, all right. He said, if you will be perfect. I maybe want to be perfect, yeah. He said, go and take everything you have. Sell it. Give it to the poor. But this is the really hard part. Take up your cross and follow me. Ouch! Ouch! The Bible says he went away sad because he had great possessions. So I was telling my friend, I said, you are like that rich young ruler. You're a good man. You help the poor and all of that. I said, but that personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, to take up your cross daily. The selling of the things was just to remove the distractions that would distract you from taking the cross. You know, people zero in on go and sell everything. That has its part. But the real important part is to take up the cross. And many times, if you have many of those things, you won't take up your cross. Have you noticed that rich men don't come to church often? Hello? Yes. Very rich people. How many rich people have you seen in an all-night prayer meeting? I'm not talking about people like you. I'm talking about really rich. People who have assets and cash in the billions. You know, he goes to church. He goes to church on Sunday. You know. If they ask them to give, he will give. He can give 100,000. He can give. No big deal for him. Maybe not tell him that he should get up every morning at 4 a.m., 3 a.m., like my wife and I. to pray, he'll be wondering, what's wrong with you? What problem do you have? It's true, I'm telling you. No need for that. Oh, it's the people who have problems. People who don't have money that need to do that. But we who God has blessed, how many people remember that? You know, we don't need that. It's the greatest deception of the devil. So he told him, he said, go and sell everything so they won't distract you. That's the reason. It's revelation knowledge I just gave you. So you can take up your cross. He didn't. So I told my friend, I said to him, I said, that's what you need to do. And he looked at me and, you know, we're with another friend, you know, about three of us, four of us. So he said to me, he said, Olubi, you know what? He said, that thing really touched me. He said, the rich young ruler. He said, I've never thought of it like that before. I said, you're just like Ariel. You're rich. I mean, rich relatively, you know. And you do help. You do. Say, but are you taking up your cross daily? He said, you know what told me? True story. He said, Olubi, send me that scripture. I did better than that. Not only I sent the scripture, I sent him my articles on it and everything, and he's been digesting it. You see? That's why people like me, for example, to the glory of God, I'm rich, but I'm not rich yet. But I am going to get rich. I'm on my way. My wife and I are very much on our way. You know, that's why we said the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. But, you know, I now know why God would not have allowed me to. You know, if I was rich 30 years ago, I would not have learned the thing I've learned. There is something about money and the confidence it gives you that makes you think you don't need God as much. You need God, but not as much. That will make you take up your cross daily. So that's why the first thing God does is that he strips you of your natural. Then he now teaches you to take up the cross. And when you've learned how to take up the cross, he will now make you really rich. And that's what he told them. The rich young ruler, church history tells that he was Barnabas. You know, he got born again later in the Acts of the Apostles. History tells us it's Barnabas. But after he left, then Peter said, you know, and the other apostles, you know, the Bible says they were greatly amazed. Because Jesus said, how can a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven? That is difficult. You know, the camel will go through the eye of the needle. The Bible says Jesus beheld them and said, with men this is impossible. But with God, all things are. So in other words, the will of God is for you to be a rich man inside the kingdom. But this is the way. So Peter now said, what shall we have? So this is where it's not Kenneth Copeland, it's not Kenneth Hagin's doctrine, it's Jesus' doctrine. Hello, somebody. Are you listening to me? This is the true prosperity message. You know what Jesus said to him? He said, there is no man that has left house or land or wife or children or mothers or fathers for my sake and the gospel. He said, he will receive 100-fold in this time. So that rich young ruler, Jesus wanted him to make him 100 times richer than he was. If he had just stayed around a few more minutes, he would have heard. He became later Barnabas, but you know, he never really got to where he could have gotten to. Another message for another day. We're talking about Job. So I said all of that to give you the background. This is a good man, and there are many of us like that. And it's you I'm talking to now. I'm talking to good Christian men and women, upright, fear God, eschew evil, who kept moral and ceremonial laws. Look at verse 5. Now, let me just give you background there, because it was the Holy Spirit who revealed this to me some many years ago. I had heard people talk about it, but not put it together the way God helped me to put it together. There are three sets of laws in the things of God. There are moral laws. Moral laws is encapsulated in what we call the Ten Commandments. They've always been true. They were just formalized through Moses. It was wrong to commit adultery before Moses wrote the Ten Commandments. But it was now formalized when Moses wrote the Ten Commandments. For instance, Abimelech in the Old Testament, this is Genesis chapter 20, long before Moses was born, had taken Sarah into his harem because she was a beautiful woman, even though she was 90 years old. God had begun to do a miracle inside her, and her age, you know, her youth was being renewed like the eagles. Who wants to take a 90-year-old woman to a harem? Because, you know, God was doing a miracle, you know, so that she could conceive Isaac. This is after the circumcision, and God had appeared to Abraham. So that those was in Genesis chapter 18, 19. This is in Genesis chapter 20. And this man takes her into a harem, of course, intending to sleep with her because she was a beautiful woman. And Abraham said, oh, it's my sister. So he assumed it was Abraham's sister. The law of adultery had not yet been written. You need to read your Bible with your head, with your head correct. Are you listening to me? So, God appears to Abimelech, in the middle of the night. God is the original godfather. He said, you're a dead man. You took somebody's wife. But there is no law at that time that said that it was wrong to take somebody's wife. What am I saying? Moral law has always existed. It was only formalized through Moses. Then you have ceremonial law. Ceremonial law is physical ceremonies with which you serve God. In the Old Testament, it involved animal sacrifices before the law, which is what Job did, and, you know, all kinds of ceremonies. Then after the law, it also involved animal sacrifices and washing, putting oil on your head and all kinds of things. You know, we carry over that in the New Testament. You find people trying to do anointing oil now and all that. They're trying to do ceremonial observances of the Old Testament inside the New Testament. Silly people, not understanding that today the anointing is spiritual. Of course, you can use oil once in a while, but don't make a religion out of it. It's a lack of knowledge. Are you listening to me? So, you know, you see what happens. And then there is spiritual law. Now, Job was keeping the first two sets. He was keeping moral law. He was keeping ceremonial law. And spiritual law was where the problem came from. Let's go on. So, God, loving Job, he said, verse 5, and it was so. I'm not hearing anybody here. When the days of their feasting were gone about. In order to understand this, let me just give you a background. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters, beautiful girls and wonderful children. And they were grown up by this time. And they used to, you know, feast. These children were just enjoying their father's money. Like a lot of our children today. A lot of our children are enjoying covering on their parents and don't realize it. They were feasting and going from one house of one child to the other and just having a big time, enjoying the covering of their father Job. Which, there's nothing wrong in that, but there was something wrong in the children not learning how to get their own covering. And you need to let your children know that. My wife and I always tell our children, you're enjoying those blessings because we're praying. And you yourself need to also pray. And they too are praying now, you know. And pray even more. Because you're going to have challenges. Am I talking to anybody here? So, and it was so. Verse 5. And it was so. When the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Diligent man. He killed an animal for each child. Ceremonial law. He killed an animal, you know, as an atonement for each child. Am I talking to anybody? For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. It was wrong. But it was not complete. He was keeping moral law. He was keeping ceremonial law. But as we're going to see, the problem was with spiritual law. And you know, today, the same problem is existing. When you see good people, that man is like, how can God allow that kind of thing to happen to this kind of man? And all of that. Go and dig deep. It's always the answer. Most people are even ignorant of spiritual law. They don't even know what it is. Some people just do it, a little bit of it accidentally, you know, because they're not taught. And they don't understand. I want to bring out a point here. We're going to come back to it in a minute, but I just want to bring it up. How come Job was afraid that his sons could sin against God in their hearts? If they had been trained in the way of the Lord, when they are old, they will not depart from it. That statement tells you we have a problem in this family. Why would he be afraid of that? Number one question is rhetorical. Number two question is, how come he couldn't call his sons? One was old enough to have his own house. They're not babies. They're not even in their 20s. These are people who are probably in their 30s or in their 40s. Are you listening to me? Because one of them had his own house and his brothers and sisters came to his house. They were not talking about children. We're not talking about teenagers. We're talking about mature men. How could Job not call one of his sons and say, you come and join me when we are doing sacrifice? Why would Job, there's nothing wrong doing the sacrifice, but why couldn't he call and say, look, come with your brothers and sisters, all of you come, let's all do the sacrifice. Number two problem. We'll come back to it. So he kept moral and ceremonial laws, but he omitted keeping spiritual laws of confession and prayer. I'm just going to mention it in passing. It says, the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. He wasn't doing that one. This is what I believe, and I'll prove it from the word of God with time. Job used to do it. Then as he got comfortable, and the lambs and the sheep and the cattle and his possessions increased and everything, he now depended more on his keeping of moral law and ceremonial law and neglected the spiritual law. I believe he used to know it. And that happens to all of us. Well, especially once you have more material things. You now begin to think, I'm serving God. Now God knows I'm a good man. You know, you don't steal, you don't kill, you don't commit adultery, you don't tell lies, you don't do all of those things. You help the poor and all of that. So you're always running from one place to the other. You're giving money to this charity. You're giving money to that charity. You're going here. You're doing this. You're doing that. So in your mind, you'll be telling yourself, I'm a good man. You know, even God knows. You know, I'll see how I'm helping people and everything. Then, but your personal prayer life begins to suffer. Satan is the one who does it. He deceives you. He takes attention. So your confidence now is no longer in the word of God, but in the good things you are doing. And they're not wrong. I'm going to keep saying that. The thing is, where is your confidence placed? And, you know, why are you concentrating more on those things than on the spiritual things? This Job's problem, and it's our problem today. Many of us. And that's the reason for this message. So you will not fall into the problem Job fell into. Some people have already gotten some scrapes. But you can avoid worse things in the days ahead by taking heed to this message. Hence, overcoming Job's error of omission. So, this omission of spiritual law created a loophole in his spiritual covering from God that Satan could exploit. Job chapter 1 verse 10. Quickly jump to verse 10. We know the story. The devil... Hey, let me change that because this is the correct thing. It was not the devil who went to God to try and talk about Job. It was God who invited him. There's a big problem here. Satan was just going around the whole doing what he normally is, stealing, killing, and destroying. So he comes with the angels of God. You know, Satan used to be Lucifer. Hello? And, you know, so the angels still respect him. That's why Gabriel or Michael, he didn't rebuke Satan. He said the Lord rebuked thee. Because Satan was his senior in the archangel hierarchy. Didn't talk to him anyhow. Go and read the book of Jude. It says, Anyway, don't let me get off into that. So he treated, even though he was Lucifer and he had fallen, Michael still treated him with some deference. Didn't say, you know. So anyway, so God calls Lucifer, calls his attention. Funny, very funny. Have you considered my servant Job? I'm going to give you revelation knowledge in a minute. Lucifer said, the devil said, of course. He said, I've tried him so many times, I can't get to him. You've put a covering around him. You know? So I can't. He said, but if you give me a loophole that I can attack him and, you know, destroy his wealth, he will curse you to your face. Interesting conversation. You know what God says? This is revelation knowledge. He said, behold, he is in thy hand. He had always been in his hand. Satan hadn't seen it. That's why God calls Satan's attention to it. Had Satan seen it without God telling him, he would just have finished him. The person we're dealing with is a bad person. Oh, the devil is bad. For this cause was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. They asked Jesus, they said, why was this man born blind? Was it him that sinned or was it his parents? Jesus said, the man didn't sin. Of course, he sinned because we're all sinners. His parents did not sin. Of course, they sinned, but we're all sinners. He said, it's not any particular sin that the parents did or that the man did. He said, but that the works of God should be made manifest. The works of God in contrast with the works of the devil. The blindness was the work of the devil. The healing was the work of God. Give the Lord a super clap offering. And don't you ever mix it up. This is one of the things that's going to give you victory in this end time. Don't mix God and the devil. The devil is bad. God is good. No in between. Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness in that. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father. It doesn't change. He wasn't good, bad in the Old Testament and then God therapy. And became good in the New Testament. silly Christians. The God of... He's the same God. Hasn't changed. We just sang it. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. He was good in the Old Testament. He's good in the New Testament. And he'll be good forever. Thank you. Anyway, so it was God who called to save Job's life. That's why God called Satan's attention. And by calling Satan's attention to it, that a loophole, you see, Satan had tried Job in the years before, maybe before money came. You know, before real money came, and he used to keep moral law, spiritual law, everything. So there was this hedge. So the devil couldn't get through. So Satan had given up trying him. He had given up. If you go to Job, you can't get enter. God has put a hedge around him. But you see, there was a small hole inside the hedge because of the omission of spiritual law. And Satan hadn't seen it. But God had seen it. And God said, ha, if this guy gets to see it. So he calls Satan's attention. Have you tried my servant Job? He said, oh, it's already in your hand. See, there's a hole there. But because God gave him that information, he had a concession. So he said, but you can't touch him. You can touch everything he has, but you can't kill him. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering for his great love and wisdom. You need to understand these things. However, Satan had not yet seen the loophole. So God called Satan's attention to it. But did not allow Satan to kill Job. He allowed him to touch him. He killed his wealth. He destroyed his wealth. He killed his children. It will not happen to you in Jesus' name. Do you understand? He even affected his physical body and his health. Verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan. Let me read verses 11 and 12. You know why? I want you to understand Satan's character. We're not dealing with a nice person. He said, that's why I feel sorry for Christians who don't take their spiritual life seriously and don't pray and don't go into the deeper things of God. You don't know who you are dealing with. You give him an inch, he will take a mile. If he has just this tiny loophole, he will exploit it to his greatest advantage. And he doesn't have mercy. Thank you, honey. It's not part of his nature. If he can finish you and your family in one day, he will. But he will not in Jesus' name. And the reason why I said that is this. Because you're listening to this message and you're going to do what I tell you. Not automatic, just because I said it. If he can. So don't play with this fellow. So many of us don't take the devil seriously enough. Don't overestimate him, but certainly don't underestimate him. Verse 11. This is rude. He's talking to God. Then Satan answered the Lord. Doth Job fear God for naught? Can you imagine? He's a very accuser of the brethren. Doth Job fear God for nothing? Does Olubi, does he fear God for nothing? Why is he serving you? Maybe it's because you have blessed him. Just give him a little bit of problem, you will see. And you know, sadly, Satan is proven right many times. The Christian, praise the Lord, I love God. Just one little small problem. The same people start talking all kinds of rubbish. I don't know. Before I say all this jim-jim, I didn't have a problem. Is that Pastor Libby? That all those messages. I didn't used to have problem before. There was no problem until I started doing all of these things. The Bible says, affliction arises for the word's sake. Yes, it's when you start doing the things that you come under attack. But the good news is you can overcome the attack. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. Stop rebelling against God and his word because of your silly so-called comfort. I'm speaking from the Holy Ghost. Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge, verse 10, everybody read to me. Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? Look at the effect of prayer. It creates a hedge, not only around you, your house, your children. Today, when we're praying, you know, Dr. Williams was praying for Nigeria. Because we're in Nigeria, there is a hedge around Nigeria. A Goshen in Egypt. Look at how those plagues got extinguished in Nigeria. Remember all the predictions that in Africa we'll all be dropping like flies. They died more in the Western world than here, where we don't have, you know, the same medical treatment, the same medical facilities that they have. We didn't have people died here, but nothing like what happened before. The average person, we used to see them, we'll be coming to church with our mask and everything. The people in Songo, you know, all the market women, they weren't wearing anything. One kosiko rombio, kosiko rombi. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Yes. They didn't wash their hands. They didn't use sanitizer. They didn't do nothing. Because there is a Goshen in Egypt. He put a hedge. Those people don't know the Bible. They don't know the word. If God didn't put that hedge, do you know the kind of this? Look at what happened in India. We don't have to go far. Remember India? They ran out of firewood to burn the corpses. Let's thank God again for Nigeria. Another clap offering. A hedge around him, his house, and everything that he has. Don't you make a mistake about it. Sit down. I'm able to enjoy the message. He called Satan's attention to it, but did not allow Satan to kill Job. Also, now this is what I said we're going to come back to. What I'm about to say now is of great importance to all of us, particularly those who are married or you are planning to marry. This I'm about to give is revelation knowledge. It's there, but it's hidden. It's in, you know, on the it's not on the surface. But God, by His Holy Spirit, has helped me to extract it. This is it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Also, Job's wife was a woman who did not fear God. You know what she said? Her character came out under pressure. You see, when everything was fine, she was following Job to church. Hello. Yes. She would do all the sacrifice, anything, you know, religion, just do it. But under pressure, what was inside her heart came out. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what she told Job? After she was bitter against God. You know what? All her children died in one day. And we're going to see the reason why. It's one man of God I heard said there are three wives you don't want to be like. Job's wife, Lot's wife, or Potiphar's wife. Terrible wives. There's a message I'm preparing, Pastor Gwega. I downloaded it this morning. You know the message? Elijah, Jehu, and Jezebel. Coming attractions. Jezebel is another, you know, she was the wife of Ahab. You don't want to be like any of those women. Anyway. She said, curse God! Because she was feeling bitter that God had allowed her children to die. So she was in complete rebellion against God. And said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? People don't believe me. I'll show you the scripture. Thank you, Bimbo. And his wife said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? So you would rather me lose my integrity. Watch this, Pastor G, honey. Watch this. So she didn't mind if I lost my integrity, but we kept our blessings. Thank you, Pastor Ibrahim. You got it. Yes. In other words, if God, I'd rather lose my integrity. It's better for you to lose integrity and we'll have our children and our wealth than for you to retain your integrity and lose your children and your wealth. I have to say it in Yoruba. You know, when you say it in English, it doesn't flow. It's a bad woman. And that's one of the reasons why the thing that happened, happened. People don't read that. You know, when they read Book of Job, they just look at concerning Job. What of the wife? A wise woman with her hand builds a house, but a foolish woman tears it down. If the children were not doing sacrifice with their father, what was the wife doing? Train up a child in the way in which he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A foolish son is a shame. Bible didn't say to the father, said to the mother. That's a scripture. Why mother? Why mother? Because when the children are small, God will bless you. Now that's why my wife came to church today. Put the scripture on the something. Some people, I will give you the scripture. Hello? Hello, look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. A wise woman. Then look at Proverbs 29, 15. I had it here in my notes. Thank you, darling. She builds a house. Yeah. Yes. Now give me 29, 15. This. Exactly. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to her brings his what? Mother to shame. The reason why those children, from the most senior, a man who has his own house, he's not a child. Why could he be following his father to go and make sacrifice? Why is it his father who has to make a sacrifice for him at that age? Because their mother really didn't believe in the God of Job. Only believe in the blessings that they could get from Job. Yes.
Owuti yagbi. Owuni omonro. And that tells you that it's when the woman is spinning, the woman spins. It's the same wool that the woman used to spin that the child will use to sew.
It's a deep proverb. Give my wife a super clap offering. Then give the Yoruba people a greater offering. No, the Yorubas, I'm doing a research at the moment. The Yorubas, there's something about the Yorubas and God and the Israelites. Yes, our culture is so similar to the Jews. I know there's a connection there. And again, you see how it did it in the whole of this West African black something. Yoruba is number one, as far as gospel is concerned. Samuel Ajayi Crowther. Yoruba was the first African language to be the Bible to be translated into. There's something in there. You know, we are the only ones who prostrate, just like the Jews. Oh yes. And you know what? You know what? You know what? King in Yoruba is Kabiosi. You know what the Bible says? It says, "Where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou?" Are you listening to me? This is where there was a big problem here. But most people, it's hidden. But people don't go and dig it out. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, God has helped me to dig it out. The woman was a problem. And she was not cooperating with her husband, who was an upright and a godly man, to bring up those children. Because the scripture says, you know, and the scripture cannot be broken. train up a child in the way we should go, and when he's old, if she had trained them up, there would have been no problem of the children cursing God in their hearts. Job doing sacrifice. In fact, the children would have been the one doing the sacrifice, helping the father do the sacrifice. And what happened would never have happened. Go and write it down. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Are you listening to me? Mm-hmm. Oh, so what? Also, Job's wife was a woman who did not fear God, and her lack of consecration affected their children. Have you ever asked a question? I can understand the wealth. I can understand the sheep and the cattle and the houses, but why the children? Big problem. Why couldn't God cover for the children? Because of this thing. Let's close. When everything was over, let me just give you a brief to say. See, when the problem began, what happened to Job will not happen to us. In Jesus' name, is one of the worst calamities that can happen to a human being. How can you lose 10 children in one day? I'm not talking about 2 weeks. I'm talking one day. Elderly children, not kids. 7 boys and 3 girls. Hold on, Leo. Now, it's not God who did it. We know it's the devil. But what I'm trying to say is that God's standards, he doesn't drop them. My wife and I, we pray for our children every day. Both collectively and individually. Then I never stop drumming it into their ears. I don't fight with them. The importance of these spiritual things. And because by the grace and the mercy of God, even when they were young, we used to teach them the Bible and speak in the word. So when we complain at home, we always laugh about this. Well, our children, oh, you don't pray enough. You know, amongst their peers, our children are pastors. Yes. When I go to any church, I want to make them pastor. In Moe's church, her pastor wants to make her a pastor. So I me and my wife all laughed. I said, what kind of nonsense, pastor? I said, you'll be a pastor later, but not now. But she's number, you know, she's very high in there. You know, same with Joshua Lupi, you know, William too. All the children, they're all doing well, you know, relatively in their, you know, amongst their contemporaries and in their churches and all that. But my wife and I was in them. You haven't even started. Yes. I'm not pleased. You're doing well, but you still have a long way to go. We're always having a family argument. It's not really an argument, you know. I said, you are adults. And I know you have your homes and all that. I said, but you are spiritual children. And you still need covering. And you need to grow out from being spiritual children to become spiritual men and women. And you're not there yet. And I expect you to get there. Don't you pat them on the head and say, you are okay. Because you are okay. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. I'm sure when they watch this thing now, they'll start laughing. But it's the truth. And not only true of our children, it's true of most of our children. When they go out, they come from scripture pasture. They know the Bible. They can pray in tongues. They are head and shoulders above their equals. In one group that Joshua was in some time ago, they used to call him pastor. So you see, Joshua, a little bit, he'll be saying revelation knowledge. My God, I'll just do my head. And he will go. Pastor. Pastor OJ. I said, go and share joy. I want your 10 lawyers. But I'm happy But I still know they're not where they should be yet. And I am not making them feel relaxed. Neither me nor their mother. That was a problem with Job's wife. She didn't have her own personal consecration. I got another text. They won't like it. But they will like it. Whether they like it or not. If Job's wife had been assisting Job in prayer and had added to what Job was doing, there would have been enough covering to cover the children. Ouch! If Job's wife was a woman of integrity and prayer, where Job had a loophole and he started, she would have known and said, ah, honey, we're not praying. All this animal sacrifice is important, but we still need to do the other one. But like most of our women today, all she wanted was the sheep and the cattle and the money and the nice dress and the favor of the children. A mini Yahweh Job. The greatest man in the East. Hey, round mommy. Can't you call it? Can't you fire who? I'm saying it in our language deliberately. The pride of life. It all came crashing down. In one day. Women, learn! Don't be like Job's wife. So, in the course of events, his friends came and said, Job, we know you're a good man. Everybody knows you're a good man. But you have started doing some funny things. Tell the truth. Which woman have you been sleeping with? This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. Or who did you oppress? Or who did you steal from? Because they knew Job. And for this kind of thing, God to allow this kind of thing. You, all your children, then even his own body was full of boils. Ah! Job, Suta, in our language, that means Job, tell the truth. What have you been doing behind our back? Because God is not a bad God. For God to allow this kind of thing, it means you are a hypocrite. It means you have been doing some terrible things. This is what everything from Job chapter 3 up to Job chapter 42. This is what I'm summarizing to you. Job began to defend himself. And he was right. Job was right. Job said, if I have thought upon a maid, said, then let another man go upon my wife. He said, God knows I was eyes to the blind. I helped the poor. I did this. I did that. In fact, Job 29 is the worst part. I. And everything he said was true and correct. But that's not where your power is. Your power is not in your good works. Your power is in the power of God that you release through your mouth. That was where the problem was. So he didn't understand. So those ones were calling him a hypocrite. Job said, I'm better than you. Come on. Nonsense. If it's not because what has happened to me. You can't even talk to my dogs. Yeah, Job said so. That pride was still there. You know, and what he said was true, you know. And he retained his integrity and retained God's integrity. He said, I know God. God is a good God. You know, he couldn't have, you know, but I don't understand why he's allowing this thing to happen to me. I've not done anything wrong. And he was right. He didn't do anything morally wrong. Moral, doing good and all that is very good. And all of us continue to do it. And I encourage you to do it. But don't put your confidence in it. So you don't go into the era of Job. And we're living in perilous times. The devil is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know, his choice targets are Christians. Why? To destroy your testimony. He will attack and kill the Christian, God forbid. He will attack and try and kill the Christian first before he even kills unbelievers. So he can destroy your testimony. And people can say, all your church and all of the, you know, go to church, tongue and all of that. See. That's why it is much more critical in these perilous times. I don't know if anybody's hearing me. Now let's close. Job chapter 38. We're fast forwarding. Thank you, Jesus. Honey, thank God. God brought you today so you could, you know, help me. That's why you're a helpmate. After many, we don't know how long, after many weeks, I guess, or months of going through this turmoil, the pressure, his body was sick, his wife was in rebellion, you know, his friends were accusing him. Job in his heart was asking God, what is going on? You know, and I know that I've not done anything. I have not told lies. I have not slept with somebody else's wife. I have not cheated anybody. God, you know now, I've been good to everybody. And he was right. Then God answers him. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Everybody say, without knowledge. Then touch your neighbor and say, my people, my Jobs, perish for a lack of knowledge. That is the lesson today. And learn it all. Good works not substitute for revelation knowledge. That's why the book of Job was written, for our instruction, for our learning. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. My people pray, I'm not going to go there because it's a scripture we should all know. But watch the story. Look at Job chapter 42. See, most people only read the parts of the book of Job, you know, sense knowledge, with, you know, just human, traditional Christian knowledge, and say, well, God moves in mysterious ways. Even good people, God allows bad things to happen to them. Look at Job. No! There was a reason. Then Job answered the Lord. I didn't hear you, folks. And said, between chapter 38 and chapter 42, God now gives Job a lot of information about who God is. And all the secrets, some of the secrets of the universe. So you are trying to tell me that I allowed something bad to happen to you, you know. See, there are many things you don't know. This is Olubi Johnson summary and paraphrase. Then Job answered and said, I didn't hear you. I know thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee. Now listen to these words. These are the words of Job after God had spoken to him from chapter 38 down, where he says, your words are without knowledge. Who is he? Talking about himself. That hideth counsel without knowledge. I didn't hear you. I don't know why Christians don't like to tell the truth. You know? That's the same problem all of us have. Many of us have. Therefore, have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here, I beseech thee, and I will speak. He's begging God. I will demand of thee, declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee. Watch this. This is a great statement. This verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He moved from head knowledge to revelation knowledge. I've heard. He said, but now. Verse 6. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Stop! What do you repent of? Sin. What sin did Job commit? He didn't commit any sin. Moral sin. So what did Job repent of? The Bible says he repented. What did he repent of? Arrogance. Pride. Confidence in his own works. Those are the killers. They kill. Not training his children properly. But you know, when you look back now, his wife was a problem. Job, God rebuked Job for his lack of knowledge. And Job repented for that lack of knowledge and wrong attitude. And then turned his captivity. Look at verse 10. That's where we're going to close. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when? Everybody say when. When? 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 Turn to your neighbor and say, when did God turn Job's captivity? When he prayed. That was the key. He was doing sacrifices. He was giving to the poor, but he wasn't praying. He wasn't releasing spiritual. He was not operating spiritual law. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. You know, these friends that have been abusing him. You know? And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Stand to your feet. We're going to... Yes. I haven't finished, but quickly say what you want to say now. Okay. I lost my thoughts.
Dearly beloved, this message is such a serious message. It's an important message. It's an on-point message. Thank God I came for Sister Nkechi's 30th and Pastor Wally's. But yeah, Missy knows. I said, Pastor told me not to come to church, but I'm coming to church today. He told me to rest because the doctor said I should rest. That was why I was looking at Pastor William and telling him, you're not a pastor. You're a pastor today. You're not a doctor. But listen to me. Years ago, truly women, I didn't even know this until some years ago. I was coming, honey, remember? I was in the plane. I was coming from Nigeria to London. And then the Lord gave me the scripture. He says, children that are left to themselves will bring their mothers to shame. Ha! Throughout that day in the plane, my head was knocking. I said, ah! Why did he, just the same way Pastor asked the question, why didn't he say, children left to themselves bring their fathers to shame? I said, he said, children left to themselves will bring their mothers to shame. I said, thank God I'm going to England. All the children were there. So as I was, I don't even remember. As I was coming, I said, thank you, Jesus. I told them, I said, I have my ammunition now. The father is the head of the house, I know. But I have found my own role. My role is that any woman that leaves the child alone to himself, yes, will be brought to shame. I said, I'm ready to. He said, she has come again. You know, she has come again. That's how she, I said, she has come again. She has come again. She has come again. You know, they has come to again to tell you the truth. When we kneel down to pray, when she takes her own phone, be looking at each other. Oh, God, when are we getting up from here today? When we were young. I said, I will not be put to shame. So as for me, by the mercy and the grace of God, every child to the glory of God, no matter how old you are.
Yes.
I said, my husband knows. Yeah, me see, say, mommy, say, mommy, I'm learning a lot from you. I said, I will say, I will declare the heavens.
Yes.
I say, you don't know. You are adults, but you are spiritual children. If this thing is not in line with the Spirit of God, you cannot have it. You cannot have it. It's not possible. I didn't come all this way to get to heaven. And God will tell me that, see what I gave you. And see what you brought back home for me. That's not possible. And I said to them, I said, to the glory of God, your father is being honored. I said, you see, when I enter a place, nobody may recognize me. But when your daddy enters a place, everybody will say, Pastor Lubi, Pastor Lubi, Pastor Lubi, Pastor Lubi, Pastor Lubi. I said it was part of my prayer. I did not want people to use me to describe my husband like Sarah's husband. That's wrong. Pastor Lubi's wife. Yes. So I would say, honey, go in front. Let me follow you. And I said another thing. I said, look, when there are meetings, people ask, you send your children abroad, but they have kept the rules. We don't need to tell them you must not marry an unbeliever. They know by the grace and the mercy of God that is out of point. You cannot. And if you say you have received somebody, and if I check in the realm of the spirits, I can't. You see, you will hear. You will see me jumping up with the phone in my hand. I cancel it in the realm of the spirits. Shatter. You see, so my parable sold. I can't cancel. You see, that's how I'll be jumping up. And say, you see, you better learn. Then the children, I said, this is not my own. It's not my own. I cannot receive. You see, my dearly beloved, listen to the praise of God's glory. This thing saves you. It says, train up a child when he's young, so that when he's old, he will not depart from the word of the Lord. To the glory of God, we all know that marriages have their issues. Even the best of marriages. But you know something? When you've trained your children the right way and they've married the right people, you under God can allow the Holy Spirit to do that which he has to do. So it's just a question of time. Everything will work by his grace aligned. Yeah, but how can you tell somebody that's 20 something that you can't marry the person? I said, because I'm the mother. And not only the mother, I'm a spiritual oversight. And me, I'm just crossing it in the realm of the spirit. And canceling it in the realm of the spirit. And do you know that it works? Because let me tell you something. He says, if you train your child, he will give you peace. For rest. Me, I want rest. Do you understand? And that's why, mothers, I'm begging you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when I was younger, my mom told me that proverb. I never forgot it. That, owuti yagmi, onlomonro. And I'm more like my mom than I'm my father. She's a giver. She's just like my dad. She's a giver. I've never known her to lock up her kitchen or lock her door. The same way my grew up. You know, you are more like your mother in certain ways. But when it comes to the principal part of it, my dad is a strong man. I picked that part from him. You see, dearly beloved women, I'm begging you in the name of the Lord. Some people will say it's a modern day. I was telling somebody modern day. Something happened I saw. I said, yeah, me see, I almost ran mad. Yeah, me see, said, mommy, why are you opening your mouth? I said, because I'm like, eh? Is this Christianity? How can you? Even if they are old, it does not matter. Fornication is a sin.
Amen.
Fornication is a sin. Drum it into their ears. Drum it into their nose. Don't be guilty. Don't support them. You know, it helps you. Because some children are afraid because of their parents. Something happened recently. And my son said, "Mom, rest. I will always do God's will. Mommy, rest. I'll always do God's will. I always do God's will. Rest, Mom." And then he said something to me. He said, "Mom, don't worry, I'm praying about it." And he came back and said, "Mom, you can be sure I've heard God. And I knew when my mom sticks to something and she keeps saying it. I know you've prayed about it." And I too, I started saying something. And I know my mom's right. "Don't worry, Mom. It's okay." They must see you consistent. My mom said, someone said to me, person he met, said, "I just need to tell you something." He said, "Mommy, I keep this close to my heart because I don't let anybody know this, that I'm intercessor." Then he said, she told the girl, "I've lived all my life." Said to the girl, "I've lived all my life with an intercessor." Let them know who you are and what you represent. Please, I beg you, women, this is a marriage seminar. This thing, that's why I got up. It's a marriage seminar. This message is a marriage seminar. Different types of women you don't want to be. You don't want to be like Lot's wife. You don't want to be like Potiphar's wife. You don't want to be like Job's wife. You don't want to be like Jezebel. You don't even want to be. David was dancing. Micah. When you were saying it, I just said, "You don't want to be, because that one will remain permanently." You don't want to be like that. I beg you in the name of the Lord. And that's why I got up. We men, we have a lot of things to do. And people are watching. You have, that's why the Bible says, a bishop that does not have his home under subjection, the rule of his bishopric, he has broken. He's disqualified. You must have your home under subjection. Because you've broken it. If you cannot control your home, how you control the body of Christ? And every man is a pastor. I was telling someone that called me today, I said, "You know, the greatest prayer I pray for men, that you be effective high priest over your home." My son Joshua, I said, "I pray. Some come and learn how to be like your daddy. Be an effective high priest over his home." I said, "Because you need to be one." Man, don't give yourself examples and leave yourself with chances that the devil can use against you in future. You know something? Moye told me, said, "Mommy, I'm so proud of you. You are not desperate." I said, "No, not desperate." I said, "Moye told me something." Said, "Mommy, I'm so proud of you. You're never desperate." I said, "No, I'm not desperate. I know my God whom I serve. He's a faithful God. And he will only give me what is best for me. To the glory of God." Don't worry. Don't worry. God loves you. Pray. Pray. And ask God to open your eyes. Many of you set yourself into problems because you use your hand to do what God did not ask you to do. You know something? Let me tell you something. If God told you to do something, then go back to him and say, "Papa, you told me to do this." He will give you a solution, a way of escape. Because he will not allow any temptation that is greater than you to befall you. Because in every temptation, he gives you a way of escape. But if you use your hands for it, I told you what happened about it. And you know, it took some time before they got pregnant. I mean, before she had a baby. And the mom was very disturbed. Because she's, yeah, she even, Tosin's mommy, because even you didn't get the testimony here. Tosin's mommy was disturbed because they were trying to celebrate her birthday. And so we went to greet her because we were traveling together. We'll be not out. She said, "Don't mind those children. They're telling me to come and celebrate birthday. What is the meaning of birthday? Birthday, everybody's laughing at me because the cloth we wore together." I said, "See this beautiful picture. They're saying that marriage that they had in heaven, they had on earth. They're saying, where is the fruit of it? You know what I did to her? I just looked at her in the face. I said, Mommy. I called her Mommy. I said, Mommy. I said, look at me properly, ma. I was not desperate. When Tosin came to meet my daughter, we prayed. And God told her that Tosin was her husband. I said, Mommy, I should be the one worried. I am not worried. My daughter will have a child. Yes. Will give birth for your son in the name of Jesus. I said, Mommy, leave it. Because if it is God that told me that Tosin is Itunu's husband, it must be fruitful. Because it's the one who said it. And that's what he said. I said, Mommy, that's why I don't enter anything that God did not give to me. I said, Mommy, sit still and rest. To the glory of God. We had an issue at first. And Satan was laughing at me and said, see, you see what you said? I said, Satan, nothing will make me ashamed. In the name of Jesus. I will be passing. We will be having fasting. God will not make his people ashamed. And then the Lord did it. And to the glory of God, she now celebrated her birthday. Do you know something? God gave us even better than what we could have had before. A shobetu. Lovely. A shobetu. Lovely child. Sweet child. God is faithful. But you have to know God. You have to stand in God. You have to stand. Listen to me, dearly beloved. You have to stand in God. If you rush into something where you have problems, you cannot call God to answer because he cannot be your advocate. He didn't send you there. You cannot be confidence. Say, God, mercy can stand. But not like when you have a right to say, God, this is right because you asked me to do this. I asked you before I went into something. You told me it was okay. I can stand upon the word and the Lord with confidence, and the Lord himself will do it. So dearly beloved, don't push. Nothing is too late. My daughter got engaged. Amen. On the 31st day of her birthday. 31st birthday. Sweetheart, I never worried about it. She's my friend. I prayed for them, but I was confident in my God. And to the glory of God, born again Christian. They moved her from the seat and put him there. Loves the Lord. And dearly beloved, stay with it. If your children go somewhere and they go and pick an unbeliever, that's not solid. And you don't want to talk because of what? The problem will come back to you later. Absolutely. Come back to you later. The Lord will have mercy and help us in the name of Jesus. This is a married seminar. You've been crying for married seminars. We've got a seminar now.
Hallelujah. Online marriage seminar. You know, see all this interesting message that has come in at the beginning of the year. Long life. Now this one, you know, about the era of it. Because this year is going to be good for you. Harvest of glory. So all the tools you need to allow everything to work, God is giving them to you. Are you listening to me? You know, so God told Job, you know, that he should pray for his friends. His friends had accused Job wrongly. They had said that Job was a hypocrite and that he must have been committing some moral sin that he hid. And Job was angry with them. He was bitter. That's the truth. So God had to remove the bitterness from Job's heart. So he said, pray for your friends. Then he warned, God is funny. He warned those boys. He said, now go to my servant Job and he will pray for you, lest I deal with you after your folly. Job's forgiveness of his friends, and he's beginning to operate spiritual law, open the door and turn the captivity. And the Bible says God gave Job twice as much as he had before. This message will not be complete if I do not end with what happened to Job's wife. It was not the same woman. could never have been. That woman must have been in her 60s when this problem happened, because their first child must have been in their 40s. The Bible is silent on it, but it's easy to be able to discern what happened. She was removed. How? I don't know. And God gave Job another person. That was one that had now the new set of 7 children and 3. Be careful. Ten children. A 60-year-old woman cannot have 10 children. It was a younger woman. And I know God would have spoken to Job. This woman who asked you to curse me. You know, my Yoruba is not very good. But you know, when I say some Yoruba things, when it's the Holy Ghost, Ninu Ikmoju. That is, in the time of tribulation, that's when you know a true wife. Who she really was came out. And God said, you see, she was part of your problem. And that's why the children turned out the way they did. They're in heaven with me. Children went to heaven. But it was unnecessary. If she had played her part, those kids would not have turned out the way they turned out. And in fact, probably the whole problem wouldn't even have happened, because the loophole, even Job was slipping, she would have been the one. That's the reason why you have a helper. You are to help one another eat of the tree of life. When you see your husband or your wife not doing the spiritual thing, you're supposed to help them. Not fight, but tell them, honey, this is wild. This is, you know, please, oh, we need to pray more. You know? You pray every day. Oh, you know, pray. There's no money. Prayer. That's Job's wife talking. Stand to your feet. Mommy, you can sit down. We got to close. I don't know if I've helped anybody. It's a very important message. Like Mom says, a prayer seminar inside it. Marriage seminar, rather. And prayer seminar. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. There are those who will tell you that faith stuff is foolish, but they've been blinded, and well, their hearts have been deceived. Pastor Andrew, but don't you waver, keep listening to the things God's word is saying. Just smile and tell them, my God has made a way for me. There are those who will tell you that faith in is foolish, but they've been colored in a world of unbelief. Oh, sing it. So don't listen to Job's wife that they are saying. Just smile and tell them my God has made a way for me. I know my God has made a way for me. Oh, sing it. I know my God has made a way for me. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I see.
I don't live by what I see, because my God has made a way for me.
Start with the first verse.
There are those who will tell you that faith in is foolish. The first verse. Go back to the other one.
Yes.
But they've been colored
in a world of unbelief. Be very careful. Don't listen to Job's wife.
There are those who will tell you that faith in is foolish. But they've been colored.
But they've been blinded.
In the word of unbelief. So don't listen to the things that they are saying. Just smile and tell them, my God has made a way for me.
Don't sing it.
My God has made, He has made a way for me. Yes, I know my God, He has made a way. He has made a way for me. So I'm not moved by what I feel. I don't live by what I see. My God has made a way for me.
The next verse. The faith is foolish.
I know my God has made a way for me. I know my God has made a way for me.
And I'm not moved, glory to God.
I'm not moved. What I feel, and I don't live by what I see, because my God has made a way for me.
Yes. There are those that will tell you.
There are those that will tell you that
faith stuff is foolish. Like Job's wife.
But they've been blinded in their hearts. Well, they've been deceived.
Oh, glory to God.
So you keep listening to the things God's word is saying. Just smile and tell them, my God has made a way for me.
Sing it.
I know my God has made a way for me. I'm not moved by what I feel, and I don't live by what I see, because my God has made a way.
Because my God,
has made a way for me.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other hand to God. Husbands and wives. Mommy said it. I will say it. The home is a church. It's a small church. We are entering perilous waters. I'm not saying that just to make you afraid. I'm telling you because it's the truth. If I say it, it's still true. If I don't say it, it's still true. And I love you. No evil is going to befall you. No evil is going to befall your children. But play your part. Husband, take your place as high priest over your home. Stop playing church. We're living in perilous times. We're dealing with a horrible adversary. See what he told God? Does Job serve God for nothing? He's not a nice person, no. If you've not been taking your prayer life seriously, 2023 must be different. Wife, don't be like Job's wife. Take your place. Help meet. The two of you together. Your intercession, collective and individual. Not only for yourself, for those children. Not only for children, the grandchildren. Generational blessings. Things just don't happen. They happen when we give God a portal. We give Him an avenue through which to move. Mommy was giving the testimony about Itunu. When we went through all of those difficult times, there was a scripture the Lord gave me. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing in standing prayer. That's what I did. I'm talking about months. But God came through. Stop playing church. Many of our men are spiritually lazy. I'm a man and I love you, but I must rebuke you today. Stop it. The woman cannot carry all the spiritual weight alone. Not in these perilous times. You play your part, she plays her part. The Yoruba people have a saying. I'm not very good at it, but I can tell you. I got it. He flies with two birds. Two wings. How can you expect the woman to navigate that plane with one wing? When you're not flying your own side of the wing. It's when the two wings are flying that you can navigate the plane properly and come to a proper landing place. Take your place, oh! Because you have heard this message. Now I'm put responsibility on you. He that did not know his Lord's will was beaten with few stripes. But he that knew and did not do it was beaten with... You will not be beaten with many stripes in Jesus' name. I'm saying that not to scare, to avoid it. Please, men, wake up! Wives who have not been taking your place, take your place. The two of you together. And don't say they are adults. Leave them. Let them do. Let them make their mistakes. Put your foot down in the natural. You don't have, not fight, no quarrel. Just say, this is wrong. I don't agree with this. It's not going to happen. I'm not in agreement with it. Then go back into prayer closet. When you pray, you know what God? God will scatter it. He's an expert. He knows how to do it. He will scatter whatever religion does not. God will scatter it and give your children the right place. Because at the end of the day, the wala is going to come back to you. Let's talk to God. Put one hand on. Pray after me. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. Firstly, I come with gratitude for this word so that I will overcome Job's error of omission, that it will not happen in my life, so that the things that happened to Job will not happen to me. I repent. I ask for forgiveness where I've been negligent of spiritual law, where I've put my confidence in my keeping of moral law, in my keeping of ceremonial laws, but I have neglected spiritual laws. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Fresh life and power into my spirit in sufficient measure as I pray now. Father, open my eyes. Like you opened Job's eyes. Open my eyes. I have heard you with my ears, but let me see you with my eyes. Translate me from head knowledge to revelation knowledge. So I will build my home, my wife, my children, my grandchildren on the rock of revelation. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail. Strengthen me with might by your spirit in my inner man, that I'll be consistent, ineffectual, fervent, sufficient prayer in the spirit in this 2023. So nothing that comes will be able to overcome me. It will be said of me and my wife and my children and my home that all things work together for my good. Through my intercession, through your intercession, through me, by your mercy and grace, in Jesus' name. Neka tolo mosheketo fridi. Le prikito fridi. Nekara. Father, thank you, Zala prikito frinesk. Lord Jesus, a prikito lomontu fridi. Holy Spirit, nikito lomontu fridi fres. Thank you for your blood. La prikito fridisko fresh. Thank you for your life. Ratoshko free. Nambrikito lomontu fresh. Thank you for your power. Naka. Rikito free. Lombradosko free. Ha ha ha. Lambraska, la pre into our wills, la prikitolo motofre, in and upon our wills, la prikitolo stofrinesk, our minds, la prikitofreshe, our bodies, la prikitofrinesk, our circumstances, la prikitofreshe, our regional heavenlies, la prikitushko fresh, Nico, insufficient measure, riba, lambrakatolo motofre, in this regard, Nico tofre de la motofreshe, in Jesus' name. I got a word while I was praying. Maybe your husband or your wife is either not a Christian or the Christian, but he doesn't or she doesn't believe in all of these things. What are you going to do? Pray. That the eyes of their under, pray that prayer for them. God, let the eyes of their understanding become enlightened. Then live right in front of them. It says, if your husband or wife, say if he doesn't obey the word, he said, don't let it be the adorning of the hair, wearing of gold and all of that. He said, but the hidden man of the heart, in an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. This is proof of man and woman. That they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wife and husband. Somebody needs that. The Holy Spirit, I should say it. If they are not Christians, God is not going to hold them because they're not in the covenant. So he's not going to hold them, you know. So you're going to have to carry the load by yourself until when they become Christians. But you know, if you really pray and you live right, God will change them. You know, many men and women, they're not bad people. The Bible says, if they be willing, if he wanted to, he would have left you a long time ago. He says, if he be willing to stay with you, he said, don't divorce him. He says, stay. He said, how do you know that it is not through you God will bring them into the kingdom? So if they're not Christian, you just keep living your Christian life. Do what you should do at home, you know, pray and all of that. Then pray and don't be a hypocrite. Live a good life. So your husband can say, or your wife can say, that God you are serving, I want to know. Very critical. The benediction. I'm a messenger. I'm Just a simple messenger. You know, so all I just did was come to deliver the message. If you have a problem with the message, go to the person that sent the messenger last on me. If you have any problem, go to the person that sent the message.
We love you, still love us.
But you know, I'm just a messenger. I'm going to deliver a message. So the rest is in your hand. If you have any problem, go to the person who sent the message. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Gwega. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your parents. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to your neighbor and say, you keep moral law, ceremonial law, and spiritual law. So you have no bones broken. In Jesus' name, total victory in 2023.
Amen. We love you.
We love you.